The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, the parents of Jesus took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it was written in the law of the Lord. Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two pigeons, in accordance with the dictate of the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen Christ the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, O Master, you may let your servant go in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all peoples, a light of revelation for the Gentiles, and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that it will be contradicted. You yourself a sword will pierce," so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. There was also a prophetess, Anna, daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at the very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were waiting the reception of the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of the Lord God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
We'll begin with a few moments of background on the Gospel of Luke here, as something to do with understanding the revelation of God in the text which is given to us today from the second chapter of the book of Luke. As you know, only Matthew and Luke tell us about the infancy narrative. Mark and John begin their Gospels with the adult Jesus. Begin with John the Baptist announcing that he is the one who is to come. He's already an adult, beginning in the Gospels of Mark and in John. Luke is a very gentle Gospel, very gracious, and the Luke and Jesus has an extraordinary sense of kindness and hospitality. The text which we have today has to do with the parents of Jesus bringing him into the temple for this special rite in the Jewish tradition. And Simeon and Anna are two figures placed there by Luke to say one thing, that is that Jesus is the one who was to come. He is the messianic person. And this child is extraordinary. This child is God present to us. And so Luke places these elderly, holy people in the temple at the time of the presentation of Jesus. And Simeon, in a prophetic way, will say, this child is destined for the rise and the fall of many in Israel, and a sign that will be contradicted. And then Anna confirms that this is indeed the messianic one who is to come. They're confirming the fact that God appears in humanity. And this will appear only in Matthew and Luke when they give us the genealogy of Jesus. They are different in many respects in the way they remember Jesus' genealogy. Luke, the Gentile gospel, traces the genealogy of Jesus from Joseph, his foster father, all the way back to Adam. This is Gentile. The Jewish gospel of Matthew, however, has a different manner of remembering the genealogy of Jesus. He traces it from Abraham, the Jewish Abraham, down to Joseph. It's not a congenital genealogy, it's a legal genealogy. And it's true that in the time of Jesus, a person of modest social standing such as Jesus would not have a genealogy that was remembered. Therefore, it's not meant to be history, it's meant to be theology. That this is the one who is to come. This is the one foretold through the ages. And if you read back in these genealogies in Matthew and Luke, you'll find all sorts of humanity. You'll find people of ill repute. You'll find every kind of variation in the genealogy of Jesus in both Gospels. So Jesus is fully human. They want to establish the fact that the Messiah coming among us is God-man, is fully human. Now, what does this mean to us? It means when we look at our own genealogy, we'll find out how human we are. We are born of 1,000 people. Our parents, our grandparents, our ancestors, they're all part of who we are. We are the stewards of their gifts. We are the stewards of their sacrifices. Just think back in your own life. Who is it? Your parents, your grandparents? Who is it that sacrificed? Who is it that forgave? Who is it who was faithful and generous that somehow is part of your inheritance today? We are the stewards of their gifts. We are the stewards of their weakness. We are the stewards of their charisms and of their limitations. Our humanity is somehow tied up in generations who have gone before us. And our inheritance is perfectly human. Therefore, in order to understand ourselves in the messianic context of God's word, we have to see ourselves in our humanity with our limitations and with our gifts. We have to accept ourselves in this condition. It means that God entered our lives in the fullness of humanity. Look through the Gospel of Luke given to us today. You'll find that Jesus is rejected in Nazareth. He's misunderstood by his family. He's in conflict with people who are religious in his time. His conflict was not with sinners. His conflict was with people who were legalistic and religious. He is the one there in chapter 19 in Luke's gospel who meets Zacchaeus, this tax collector who was despised, and he goes to his house for dinner. Take about the person who's despised in society, and the Messiah, the God-man, goes to his house for dinner. This means that somewhere in our families, we have to see the presence of God revealing in humanity. Perhaps no other single line in the Gospels has caused more confusion than in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, where, as part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is quoted as saying, "You must be made perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." And so for many, many years, we strive to be perfect. We prize to be unblemished, to be sinless. And we were told that this was necessary in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. And yet, when you read the exegesis on that saying, the word perfect is a bad translation. The Greek is teleos, and this means mature. It means whole. You must be fully human in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. You must be fully human in order to encounter the Messiah. And therefore, God comes among us as one like us. The one who suffered, the one who experienced injustice, misunderstanding, set aside by judgment. And there are times in life when we will wonder, who is there for me? Who will heal me? Who shows up for me in my time of crisis? Who welcomes me when I am ostracized by others? What church has a place for me just as I am? Just before I become perfect, before I become sinless, is there a place for me in my family? Is there a place for me in my community? A place of healing, a place of life, a place of affirmation, a place where I will be accepted just the way I am? This becomes a big question when you get to understand God visiting us in our humanity. I've seen this in my own life many times, where when I was in sin or in grace, to convince myself that I was equally loved. And when I walked in darkness and I wondered who will walk with me, or when I was lonely or my life was empty, who will show up for me? And I hear the voice of God saying, God is with you in Jesus Christ, who became human just like you, and God is with you now. You know, when you were born, you were adorable. Everybody said you were adorable. And every child is adorable. Nobody's ever seen an ugly baby. Every baby is beautiful. You're just like your grandmother, you're like your grandfather, you're like somebody, but you're never like somebody who's ugly. You're always like somebody who's beautiful. We were adorable. But now, we are blemished. Now we have sinned. Now we have struggled. Now we have made mistakes in life. And now it is to convince ourselves that we are chosen. We are blessed. Our names are called in the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter your condition in life. It doesn't matter what happened to you in your life. It doesn't matter if people think you don't belong in the kingdom of God. You belong, and your name is called. Now that's the teaching of the Word of God today as we finish a year and we begin a new year. It's a teaching about family. There's somebody in your family who feels misunderstood, left out. There's somebody lonely in your life. There's somebody who feels judged, set aside. They haven't reached the standard. They didn't meet our expectations. The unguarded word, the offense that was given, perhaps without meaning to give offense. But there is a wound, a division, and God came among us in the person of Jesus Christ to say, it's time to heal the wounds, to welcome people into our lives, to make a church come alive in the embrace of God's infinite love for all people. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter your condition in life. It doesn't matter if people think you are not in the grace of God. The Word of God says you belong and your name is called. So let us rejoice and give thanks to the Lord for the revelation of God's infinite love in humanity and for God's presence within each and every one of us, chosen, blessed, and loved infinitely by the living God. Amen.